All right, here we are with another edition of the Authority Agency member spotlight. And today I have a member that has really been doing some great things. When I said been doing some great things, this guy was an authority before he even knew he was an authority. For years and years and years, he kind of practiced the principles without actually having that authority, that authority label on it. But I guess once he kind of got into agency and started seeing what we were doing, he was able to kind of piece it all together and really, really get laser focused on it. So I definitely want to welcome today Mr. Joe Helper. How are you doing, Joel?
I'm fine, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, Jack. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, no one would ever guess that you were from the Chicago area, huh? The accent. That's what I hear. All I can think about is the Saturday Night Live doubles. I can hear it in the voice.
Where would people say I'm from Chicago? I know that accent well, but people don't think you have an accent, but when I go to other parts of the country, then they say I like your accent. So I've heard that many times.
Well, I'm in Texas, so you definitely have an accent. So let's talk about this authority before authority. So you were actually kind of manufacturing your own authority, just kind of, for a long time in different industries by coming up with these, these ideas and kind of the same principles of manufacturing authority to then, kind of start the kindling and get the sparks started so that the fire can take hold and then let it happen organically. So I want to jump right in to kind of your first experience, the first thing you did that kind of started that kindling with authority.
Okay, we had a little glass company who was a customer. I was in the glass business. We were in all phases of it, our family, for three generations. And we bought a little company downtown called Costello Glass that was not well known. And I wanted to sell my products and services to the major buildings and the real estate development companies who ran the buildings. But when I went in to see them, they wouldn't give me the time of day. So there was a magazine called the Real Estate News, which I saw in one of the offices, which was on the desk of every company I wanted and every building I wanted to do business in. So I put a few classified ads in the back of the magazine just so they would get to know the name. And then after doing it for about a month, I actually called up the editor of the magazine, was a lady, and I said, I'm a customer of yours. Would you consider putting my picture in a little article about my company in the news section of your magazine? And she said, yeah, send it to me. And I did. And I really didn't expect to get much of a response or much space because I wasn't anywhere near a big advertiser. We were spending nothing. And a month later, the magazine comes back. And on the front cover of the magazine, article by Glass executive Joel Helper on page 27, right on the cover. So I open up to page 27. The whole page is a picture of me and a whole story about my company. Everything I told her, she recited and reprinted word for word. Now, the beauty of this is this actually went free. It was a free publication, went to every single building in the city. And within a period of a week, my phones were ringing like, hey, I read your article. I understand you're in the glass business. You've got a background. Would you have time to come and talk to me and explain to me what you can do to help my business?
I think that right there, and I want to make sure that we don't gloss over this point. You had been paying for small ads, right?
I was paying him like $50 a week for a real little ad.
Little ad, and that was. You were paying for, and when you just went and asked for it, but when they put you inside the magazine as in editorial space and right, positioned you, because now you weren't an advertiser, you were someone that was a credible, that was worth talking about in their magazine, that cost you nothing. And what do you think the difference is between the response you got from the free editorial space versus the paid advertising space that you were doing?
The difference was dramatic. The paid space was getting us a few calls for a specific item that they may need or a specific service. And the question is, I need my window fixed or I need my mirror put up. How much? That was the call. So that's straight business. But with this article, they were calling up because they wanted to talk to me and they wanted to find out about me and they were interested about my background, who I was, and they considered me someone that they needed to know whenever they needed anything about my industry or my specialty. It positioned me completely from, I went from a peddler to actually an expert, if you want to use that term, you know, or an authority. And I did it in one article, which was incredible.
Right. And so, to kind of take advantage of that, obviously something clicked in your brain that said, hey, this is, this is kind of fascinating how this happened.
Yeah. And it wasn't anything that I expected. I just offered it out there and we did it in a very low key way where the article we wrote was a fun story about our family and how my grandfather started out delivering glass in a horse and wagon around the turn of the century and how he was working for $2 a week and got fired and he went into business for himself. And 40 years later, we had this big business going. You know, I wrote a whole interesting family story about our background and how I came to be a third generation in the business and what I knew and what I did and how we could help people. It was more about how our background could help people than it was a self-serving type of a piece.
Right. And what you did is you created like almost a human interest piece that whether anyone was in the market for glass or not, it was still something interesting for them to read.
Yeah. And then they actually, based on what they read, and at that time I was, you know, better looking than I am today. The picture helped too. It was a really nice picture of me in a suit. And the impression they got that I was someone that they would like to talk to, at least on the phone, or in a lot of cases, I got invitations to come and actually present myself personally, like they wanted to shake my hand and find out a little bit more about the glass business and what I could do to help their building. And then we went from selling small projects or projects that didn't make us any money to opportunities where we actually got some chances to give them proposals for some good-sized, large projects because they actually checked us out. And I found out that people who read this article started making phone calls like, who is this guy and what's he all about and what's his company about? And we had a real good reputation in the city. We still do to this day. And everything they found out actually helped them want to talk to me. Like, this was like before the days where you would Google somebody. There was no Google. So the only way you could find out about somebody is pick up the phone and start talking to people. And that's what happened. All from one article.
Yeah. Well, obviously that kind of set the pace for you. You knew you were on to something. And I tell you one really interesting thing about you, that I know is that you don't wait for things to happen to no. You make things happen for you. And so I want you to talk about the day that you decided that you were going to be the president of association.
Yeah, that was actually one of the best things I ever decided to do, because we had another business called Columbia Glass. We were wholesale distributors. We're constantly calling on people all the time, and we're sending our salesmen all the time, but it was always business. And my concept of business were I wanted to take my customers and bring them to a higher level. I wanted to make them friends, more than just doing business for money. I just wanted to know about them, their background, their families, what they did, what they liked, what they didn't like. Because when you get to that level, then business becomes almost secondary. It's a foregone conclusion. You're going to get the order. So the way I did it is I said, I need an association. And the reason I knew I needed one is because my father had been involved in associations all his life. And every time he became a member of the association, he ended up becoming the president. That was just the way he was. And I said, you know, I'm going to start an association, and I'm going to make myself the president. So I created this name called the Illinois Glass Association. And I went to a printer, and I had him print up some business cards, Joel Helfer, President, Illinois Glass Association. And I put my business address and business phone number in there. And then I had my secretary pick out a restaurant. We invited about 100 of our customers to dinner, which we could afford. It cost them $2. We could afford. And the whole purpose of the meeting was I was going to make them members of this association.
So up until this point, it was you were president of Association of One.
And actually, for the whole time I was president, I never got any help, and my wife and I ran it on our kitchen table. But that's another story. But the point is that that's correct. I was a president of one who nobody knew about. And I stood up in front of this group of people, and I thanked them for coming, and I thanked them for their business. And I said, the reason for this meeting is I started an association, and I printed up a nice little membership card, which I passed out to everybody. And I said, effective immediately, you are all members of the Illinois Glass Association, which is completely free. This is not an association with dues. We're not trying to make any money. We're just strictly getting together on a social basis to get to know one another. Everybody loved it. And the second month, I even had more people come.
So how many members did you, you went from Association 1 to a Association of how many?
The first month, we ended up with about 50. By the third month, we were up to 150 companies.
150 companies in your association. Okay, so you've now this is, I think, is one of the key points. You create the association. You didn't charge anything, right? You didn't charge anything for dues. You had nothing to actually monetize it. So how did this end up actually giving you a return on your business?
Two ways. One way was the third month of the year, some of the companies that came were not only customers of ours, but were suppliers who sold other products than we did, you know, like complementary suppliers, like cooperative type. And the third month, I get a call from one supplier, and he said, Joel, I'm really mad at you. And I said, what did I do wrong? And he says, you're running this association. You got 150 people coming every month. Everybody loves you. They're always talking about you. You're getting all this free publicity and celebrity, and you're becoming a big shot in the city. I want that. I want to pay for this thing because I want to be the big shot, and I want you to let me be the sponsor, and I'm going to pay the whole cost. It's going to cost you nothing, but I want to come with my salesman and my signs and make a presentation. So I said to him, okay, I have no problem with that. You know, if you want to pay for it, you want to be the big shot, be my guest. And what happened was, is that started a process that, believe it or not, went on for about 15 years. And all I did was find suppliers and people that wanted to sponsor it. Occasionally we paid for ourselves just because we wanted to. But for the most part, I ran this group for 15 years, and it never cost us a dime. Now you ask me, how did I monetize it? Well, this is how we monetized it, by creating all the goodwill in the city of Chicago, by giving people an opportunity to meet each other on a social basis, because some people talk to each other on the phone but never really met each other. This went on for years. This happens in business. By giving them an opportunity to bring their wives to an annual dinner dance, to give them a night out where they get to meet the people, by giving them an opportunity to go to a golf outing, and where we used to have celebrities come and actually make a presentation. I used to hire, like, you know, retired baseball, we had in football players from the Bears and the Cubs to talk, and they loved that. By giving them, by turning our industry into a social component, which does not exist in most industries, we created so much goodwill that these people actually became our friends. And when we would go in to talk to them in their business, like when I would walk in, for 30 minutes, we're just talking about stuff. We're not talking about selling glass. We're just talking about stuff like how your kids, what are they doing? I knew about their families and everything. What are you doing? How's your son? How's your daughter? I understand your daughter just had a baby or somebody got married or, God forbid, somebody died. For 30, 40 minutes, we're just talking. So finally, the customer said, what the hell did you come in for anyways? I said, oh, yeah. We got this special this week on this particular product or this particular deal. And the guy would say, oh, yeah, give me a 10 of this and 5 of this and 20 of this and 30 of this. And I got to go. Goodbye. And that's how we made our money. And believe it or not, the sale was done before I walked in the door because we created so much goodwill that they wanted to give us business because we gave them this outlet. And I actually became, not because I wanted to or because I needed it to satisfy my ego, but I actually became what do they call it, one of the top authorities in my industry just by creating an atmosphere where people could have fun.
Yeah, and the values of that is it's almost like you created a, not only with, you know, authority before, you know, is labeled as that, but you almost recruited an affiliate army almost before that, you know, with the people that, because I'm sure you got referrals out of that and people would do business because of your association, your relation to, you know, obviously as the president of this association. And then for other people to come in and say, hey, I want some of this, I'm going to foot the bill for it. You know, you kind of let it happen organically, but to witness it and kind of, I'm sure you saw where the pieces were falling into place and why this was working and to be able to identify that.
I knew how to take advantage of it but I was just amazed that it had a life of its own. Almost like if you kick this up to modern day, sometimes when you write a post on Facebook, nothing happens, right? But every once in a while, you'll write a post where you get like 50 responses and people start talking and it takes on a life of its own. And that's exactly what happened in real life. I never in my wildest imagination ever thought this was going to happen. And it became fun. And the hard part was to keep it going because everybody wanted to be a member of this particular group, but nobody wanted to do anything. So God bless my wife and my kids and a few of my employees. We actually had to do all the work, you know, to keep sending out the invitations and setting up the events and all. There was some work involved, but it was worth every penny. And then when we ran the golf outings, I used to have, you know, one of my guys in his truck deliver all the stuff out to the golf outing, you know, the sign, get everything all set up. You know, like you run any event, there's a certain amount of work to it. But it was well worth it because the results were outstanding. It took us away from being what I would call a salesman or a peddler, you know, like somebody just coming in to try to sell you something, you know, like the famous expression on internet marketing, buy my stuff. We no longer were that way anymore. We really became a friend. You know, way above even trusted friend. We just became friends.
Yeah.
And if you ever get to that level in business, you're automatically going to get the sale. Then it's just maybe a matter of, well, your price is a little high, or I can't afford this, or I can't afford that. But they're going to give you a business.
Yeah, and it no longer becomes a matter of price. They're doing business with you oftentimes, even if you are more expensive, because they want to do business with you. And I think one of the things that you've demonstrated over time is that it takes conversations. I mean, obviously things happen based on conversations, and you are not afraid to get in front of people and talk, and not necessarily feel that you have to go and do a sales pitch to everyone that you talk to, but you get out there and have conversations that, you know, turn into business, obviously. So if we move, you know, fast forward to, you know, when you discovered authority marketing, you know, when you kind of became a member of authority agency and started recognizing, hey, these are things I've been doing for several years. And then, so, you know, what happened then to once you recognize and you started thinking about, oh, okay, I can put this label on it and start doing things maybe a little bit more purposefully, although you really seem to have a strategy down. So how did you actually go from, you know, actually walking the walk and doing the things that authorities do to actually saying with purpose, I'm going to do authority marketing. I'm going to apply authority marketing to myself and to others.
Well, the first thing I did was listen to your teachings that you and Brian Horn have created, which are outstanding because you've actually been able to quantify and put this in a system that's easy to understand. So I have to thank you for that. That's the first thing you did. And then I actually started to, I actually do what I heard. I actually worked. I actually implemented. I created a little platform. One of the first things I did was I built up my LinkedIn profile. And even though I've had websites in the past, I'm just a firm believer that a LinkedIn profile is much more useful because when you send someone to your profile, it's non-threatening. When you send to a website, which is still important and people need, it's kind of like buy my stuff. So I first thing I do is I send people to my profile. And then I put some authority trust triggers on there. You know, like I got myself on, I sent out some articles and I got myself on, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC and that stuff. I was involved through this wonderful group in a multi-authored book and became part of a number one best-selling book on Amazon, which is really cool. So I used that. Then I wrote three articles on Pulse. And I was lucky because whatever I wrote, people resonated with. And these three articles got me almost 75,000 views. People actually read this stuff and I got comments. So between my LinkedIn profile, between the multi-authored book that I had a chapter in, which got me a best-selling designation, and these articles, people started to look at me, and I started to get all these comments. Then I went one step further. I took all this stuff, and people I wanted to connect with, I used Facebook private messaging because I figured out that when you send a post out on Facebook or you send them an email, people sometimes look at it, sometimes don't. But when you send people a private message and, you know, in the corner of Facebook, you get that little one, you know, over the private message, I was getting like about 80 or 90% response. Every time I would send out a private message, I get an answer. And we start talking back and forth. And instead of talking to people on the phone, which I love to do, this was my modern way of accomplishing the same thing, is talking to people back and forth through private messaging. And then I would kind of give them a link like, hey, here's my LinkedIn profile. Check this out. Or here's an article I wrote. Or here's something about me which you might find interesting. And it started to build my profile. Plus, I repeatedly would comment on Facebook on other people's good fortune, on things that were going on. I was part of all the good activities in authority agency. So people started to get to know me. And one thing led to another. And I actually got opportunities to be interviewed on webinars. Ted Protomew, who became a friend of mine, he's a LinkedIn expert. And he just wrote his second book for Entrepreneur Press. And he gave me two full pages in his book as a case study, which is another authority bit for the platform. All this stuff, like, it started building on itself. It became organic. It took on a life of its own, all because I just decided to do what you said.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole principles behind it. Is that, like we, you know, said, you know, earlier, it's about creating, you know, the kindling, you know, starting the spark that will allow this to grow organically. But you never would have got this organic piece of it if you hadn't have actually put in the effort and the commitment to build the that at least that beginning piece.
That's the one thing that is overlooked by a lot of people. It just doesn't happen. First, you have to be proactive. You have to be willing to put yourself out there and maybe have some people think you're a complete fool, but that doesn't matter because ultimately you get it right. Even if you say stuff or do stuff that's wrong, it really doesn't matter. And then as you put yourself out there and you're patient, and what works for me is I do it. I have a consistent basis where I'm someplace every, I take 15, 20 minutes every day and I'm someplace. I'm either talking to somebody on the phone, I'm making a comment on LinkedIn, I'm putting a post on Facebook, I'm talking to somebody, trying to get to know them better, maybe a private message. And I've actually come to the point where if I'm not doing something to promote myself every day, I'm not doing my job. And it's a little bit, people might say it's a little bit self-serving, or maybe they think you have an ego, but it's none of that. It's just modern day business promotion. Because in the old days, you could call somebody up, you put your hat and phone on and go see them, right? Well, today, forget about that. You're lucky if you can get them to return a phone call. All you do is get voicemail. And email is like, I get so many emails every day, I don't even have time to look at them. But this system you have of writing articles and providing good information, like you talk about being an educator and an advocate, I've taken that to full heart, and I try to do that. And I very rarely tell people, well, buy my stuff, or this is how I make money. I just give as much good information as I can come up with, or what, based on my experience, and it works. And as a matter of fact, you asked me before what it led to, and all this actually led, when a live radio station in Chicago, 560, actually ended up reading one of my articles. I don't even know how this guy got to it, right? But I figured if 75,000 people read what I wrote, somebody had to say something, right? So he gets to it, and I get a call one day, and he says to me, he says, are you Joel Halpern? He says, yeah. He says, you wrote this article? I said, yeah. He said, I read it and I liked it. I said, thanks. And he says, I checked out your background. And he says, not only did I look at LinkedIn profile, but Google, and I actually called some people who knew about you and your background in the glass business. And I was like shocked. He knew all about me, right? Because I made it easy for him to find out about me. That's the whole business of authority marketing. I actually made it easy for him to find out about me. So it worked. And then he says to me, you're exactly the guy I'm looking for. He said, how would you like to help me fill radio slots? And I'm going to give you a title. I'm going to make you the radio show producer. And I go, oh, this is really good. And I says, what do I have to do? He says, you just have to help me with your contacts, get people to come talk on the radio. That's it. You don't have to do nothing else. So I jumped at it, because now that I call myself a radio show producer, now to take my authority and put it to a whole other level. You know, I'm not a podcast guy. I'm not an internet marketer. I'm not selling seminars. I'm not trying to get you to go to California and spend thousands of dollars for a 3-day show. I'm none of that stuff. I'm a real live radio show producer on live radio. And it's like putting, only thing I'm going to tell you about, I'm not going to go into the details about it because I can't, but it's like putting candy in front of kids on Halloween.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that is remarkable.
And all this, can you believe all of this happened, Jack? All because I decided to first enroll in your program of authority agency, and even, you know, whatever stuff you buy, or whatever stuff you do, put out, I buy it. And I try to absorb it. And I try to use it based on my own experience in order to, like, stand out a little bit from the crowd. It really works. As a matter of fact, it works so much better than I thought. This is really funny. This is really cracky up. Now that I get this title of being a radio show producer, which is a real title, I actually have the position. It's not contrived like the president of the Illinois Glass Association. This is real. And there's a real radio station and people behind it. I get a call from a lady who runs a PR firm. She's a professional PR firm. And she says to me, I understand you do authority marketing and you help this radio station. This is like a week after I get this opportunity. And I said, yeah. I said, what can I do for you? She says, well, we have a professional public relations firm, and most of our clients are high-end clients. but about 10 or 15% of our clients can't afford our monthly fees. They start at like $3,500 or $4,000 a month for public relations to get you in the Tribune, the Chicago Sun-Times, Crane Chicago Business, Chicago Magazine, you know, on the radio, on TV, all this stuff in Chicago. She says, and I don't want to lose this 10 or 15% of clients who we could service but can't afford us. And she said, would you be interested in creating authority marketing pieces for these clients in a package as a back end? You work for me now. I would do all the promotion, but you have to give me like opportunities for them to have a LinkedIn profile, get articles on Pulse, get a video on YouTube or whatever other authority marketing we decide to do, and I want you to go work for me. You believe this?
That's fantastic. And what an evolution, you know, in 12 months or so. About 12 months. Less than 12 months.
How about 6 months?
6 months. Okay, yeah, 6 months to evolve from, you know, to, you know, the Glass King of Chicago, right? You know, having just a super, you know, effective, and what you're doing on LinkedIn, to getting the exposure through that, to becoming a radio producer, to having a high-end PR firm wanting you to fulfill authority marketing for them. And it really is all because you took the action and did the first step to get it out there. And I think that is just remarkable stuff and truly inspirational, I think, to a lot of people. And I think, you know, you're definitely someone that, you know, people should look to for inspiration and to see how it's done just by taking that movement and taking that action and moving forward.
Well, I thank you for those kind comments, but I don't feel that I can take full credit for it. I think a lot of it's just luck.
But you know what? You don't get the luck if you don't go out there and let the luck happen. You know, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Isn't that what people say?
It's true.
It absolutely is. So Joel, how can people find out more about you and what you're doing? You know, connect with you on LinkedIn and see you in action.
Well, the best way is my LinkedIn profile. You just type in my name, Joel Helfer, and my name will come up. Or if you Google me, I have now created like a page and a half of stuff on Google, which, believe it or not, starts out with my LinkedIn profile. Google always puts that at the top. And then it shows articles I've written. It shows background about me. It gives you my telephone number and address and all that stuff, you know, so it's all right out there. And then I also have a email address if anybody ever wanted to email me. It's the initial J Helfer, just like it sounds, my name, J Helfer 217@gmail.com. And I even have a telephone scheduling system, but anybody who listens to this call, I would prefer to just have them pick up my numbers published all over the place. As a matter of fact, if you go to my LinkedIn profile and see exactly how I do it, my telephone number is prominently displayed in the heading, because I believe that that's real valuable real estate. And something that's helped me is the top of my LinkedIn profile is like a billboard. And I've got my picture there with some trust triggers, a copy of the book that I published. I make sure that they know I'm a number one best-selling Amazon author. And also my phone number just hits you right in the face.
Yeah.
And if they do nothing else, if they look at nothing else in my profile, which actually they do, it's a good way of promoting yourself. And it's completely, it's not free because it costs $39 a month for a premium account on LinkedIn. But that's the cheapest $39 I ever spent.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. I certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing this with everyone. You know, it's something, you know, I just love hearing stories like this and seeing how people evolve. And it's definitely something I'm going to keep track of and keep watching what you are doing. So, but thank you so much for coming on and being an inspiration for people.
I really appreciate the opportunity. And the only thing I can say in conclusion is that anybody who has the opportunity to listen and learn from you and Brian Horn should take advantage of it because it pays off.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, Joel, definitely. So, folks, you know, there you have it. Joel Helfer, you need to check him out and see what this guy is doing because he is really a poster child, I think, for taking action and letting things happen and making things happen. So until next time on our next Authority Agency Spotlight, remember, you are the only real game changer.